Senator Kennedy, wherever I go in America, people always say to me that this is so-and-so, but this isn't the real America. If you had to pick one place, where would you point to and say that to you this was the real America?
Well, I think it's probably difficult. If you ask me for a specific place, I think perhaps smaller towns are upstate New York, Iowa, but I suppose there are a lot of different communities. I think once you get away from the large urban centers where life is a little bit more frantic, I think you might see more about the understanding and the courage and the compassion of people. You focus more upon it, I think, in some of our smaller communities.
Are there any characteristics that you'd point to, really, and say a distinguishing marks of the American, really?
Yeah, but it almost sounds like a 4th of July speech. That's the problem. I think that people are very compassionate, and I think they're very generous, and I think that they are very brave and very idealistic, sometimes impractical. You know, that sounds strange, considering all of our technological and scientific advancement, but I think that in some ways, because things have come very easy to us compared to many other countries, we're impractical, perhaps, in our relationship with other countries. And I think because I think there's a generous spirit, that we perhaps also get hurt because people don't recognize it, and we're apt to think that sometimes they're right is possibly more on our side than at other times. So, you know, I think it's there were some marvelous natural characteristics of the American people.
In an election year, of course, everyone behaves rather like a doctor, you know, finding, you know, what's wrong with the patient America and sort of suggesting remedies and so on. And everyone talks about the malaise, and there are many symptoms of it. I mean, whether one looks in the cities or the other subjects you've been dealing with in your speeches and so on. Do you think that things like the cities or the attitude to the war or the race question, do you think these are the malaise, or do you think they're symptoms of something deeper that's got to be put right?
I think it's deeper. I think those are symptoms of it. I think it's really sort of involves the national purpose, almost the soul of the country. And I think it's involved also to some extent in the tremendous material wealth we have in the United States and what you're going to do with it and how it's going to be utilized. Also the tremendous military wealth or power that we have and the fact that we're involved in this terribly difficult struggle, and we don't quite know what to make of it. And so that there are these eruptions that you mention that I think happen or occur because of all of that. And I think it really comes down to really the national purpose of what we're trying to accomplish and what is up at the top that's giving us some direction or some leadership and perhaps a lack of confidence in all of that.
And if things go according to plan, say by next January, when you become president, what would be in the first, I mean, these things are things that take time, but what sort of initiatives, what sort of things could you do about this deeper problem in the first month or two?
I think really just to, you know, you asked me earlier what I admired or what I thought were the outstanding characteristics of American. I just think to bring them into play where those haven't been called upon. You know, I think, for instance, in your own country or other countries, frequently those are only the bravery or courage or generosity are only called on in for a country in time of war, really, aren't they? I mean, there's all the terrible things that happen in war, but there are also all these marvelous things that happen toward one's fellow human being, one gives one's life. One drops on a grenade or whatever you do in order to help somebody else.
Right, we say...
So I think we are in a difficult period of time, and what you would try to do is to bring forth those marvelous characteristics. I think President Kennedy did it to some extent, for instance, during the establishment of the Peace Corps. Right. There you have tens of thousands of young people and older people as well who are willing to give up their lives, give up their homes, give up their comfort, and go all over the world in order to help others. I think that's really characteristic of the United States.
Yes.
And you would hope that that's... That, I mean, you, rather than talk about some specific program, this is what I'm going to do about the
city. No, I think this is much, much, much more convincing. Because what you were just saying, I mean, you, more than anyone bidding for the presidencies and so on, has a clearer perception of what the presidency can do. Was there something, in fact, that you mentioned President Kennedy, that he taught you about the scope of how much the potentialities of the presidency? I mean, in a sense, what you're saying is that it's got more potential than's being realized.
Well, I think that's true, and it goes beyond sort of specific pieces of legislation. I think if an awful lot of legislation can be passed, and you start arguing about what housing bill is better than another housing bill, or what job program, the manpower training program is better than another manpower. People get lost with all of that, and understandably, they can't keep up with all the things that are happening in their own community, let alone what is happening at the federal level and the legislation that is being passed. But the presidency is something far beyond that. It's not that you're going to agree with the president on every issue, for instance. There's going to be tremendous disagreement. But the fact that it's giving the country some direction and there's somebody that you feel that's up, is there, that's looking out for the your own interest, not in a selfish way, and more and beyond that, the interest of the country and the interest of the next generation. And you might disagree with what he is doing, but you can understand it, and you rally to him, and therefore to the country in time of crisis. For instance, President Kennedy's popularity was never high until after the Bay of Pigs, when he said, "We made a mistake, but we've learned something from it." Then it sort of brings although people thought that was a terrible disaster and terrible mistake, and wasn't he foolish and stupid to do it, you still honor the fact that this is whoever it is part of you and part of the country and part of what you have such affection for.
Well, that's what excited me about the period 60 to 63. It seemed to me the first time that what one had dreamed was possible could come true, and that one person could set a style somehow for a whole country's, as you say, you disagree with individual.
Yeah, I think, but it's what the people are, really. I mean, President Kennedy maybe stimulated it. But it wasn't what made those days was not just, it wasn't him. I mean, he obviously played a role, but I mean, it was those young people who went and served, as I said. It was the young men and women who went and helped registration. It was those who fought or struggled against discrimination. It was the people who were doing extra kinds of things on behalf of their neighbor or their community and felt that politics or political life was an honorable profession, as John Buchan said, Lord Tweedsmuir said, and that you could make a difference.
Right.
I mean, that I think it's so important that we, so much now, you're frustrated about the fact that you can't affect the course of action, the course of events. You can't affect Vietnam. You can't affect the riots in the cities. You can't affect your white and the blacks are going to come in and try to take your home away from you, are going to move into the neighborhood, are going to shoot somebody, or slights, and the blacks are saying nobody's going to try to help. But it's the fact that somebody can make a difference and that it's worthwhile trying to make a difference.
But would your approach be similar to President Kennedy's, in fact?
But we're living in a different time. I mean, the 1960s, late 1960s, and the 70s are different than they were in the early 1960s.
Right.
I was happy to be part of that. But that was part of my life that has passed. And what I'm looking to and toward is not continuing what ended in 1963, but beginning what can happen in 1969, which will have an effect for the 1970s. That's what's important, not what we did in the early 1960s, but what we can do from now on.
What do you think, Senator, what do you think is really the, as you look at your career thus far, do you feel proudest of as your greatest achievement thus far?
I think the role in the Cuban Missile Crisis, I would think. Yes, that. I don't think there's anything else sort of compared to that. The only reason that I hesitated at all is because I felt strongly about the election of 1960 and having a role in the change, because I think that affected the course of action and the course of history, at least for a period of time, for the United States, so that therefore having played a role in that was important. But if you took one event and what I think was the most important and most significant and where I perhaps made the best, most important contribution, where the question was whether the world was going to be blown up or not, that was the Cuban Missile Crisis.
And the contribution there, you would said, was one of making the right decision or
yes,
giving
well,
the right advice?
Yes, the right decision was made by President Kennedy.
Yeah.
But just what the ideas that I was able to contribute, yes. Which he finally
Because if you become president, you've then got to find people like you, haven't you?
Well, it's interesting because you see, I suppose the 14 people who were involved who were very, very significant, bright, able, dedicated people who all had the greatest affection for the United States. I suppose probably the brightest kind of group that you could get together under those circumstances. If six of them had been president of the United States, I think that the world might have been blown up. That's one side of it, and the fact is also six out of 14, and the other side of it, if Mr. Khrushchev had been a different man at that time, the world also would have blown up. Now, when we think of how brilliant or an able President Kennedy was, I think we have to also look at the other side of it, that this is also involves our adversaries. And if then I think back, you look back in history, or trace the evolvement of the First World War, of Austria's miscalculation about what was going to happen, and then the Soviet Union's miscalculation by calling up their troops, and then Germany's idea of, because Russia mobilized their troops, so therefore they were going to take that step, and then England taking and France reacting to that. Everybody involved in all of that miscalculated what the other person was going to do, and now you miscalculate in a major way, and that's the last miscalculation you make.
Right. Well, this is what's so terrifying, really, that we all make jokes about our respective intelligence services, and so on. But in the last resort, the horror of getting wrong information today. I mean, there's not time to check.
Well, it's not only wrong information, which is terribly important, but it's judgment.
Right.
I mean, you can go back to the Cuban Missile Crisis. Where are you going to intercept a particular vessel? Where are you going to let that vessel go through? I mean, the whole idea, for instance, President Kennedy spent more time trying to give the Soviet Union time to calculate their position than to get the missiles out of Cuba. And, I mean, there was no question you could have brought it to a head at a much earlier time. And there were those involved in counseling President Kennedy who wanted to do it immediately. And that the idea of giving the other person time to understand what the consequences of his action are is so important, and to have some judgment about what he's going to do and is and will not do is so valuable.
Yes,
but in the last analysis, as I say, I think if you ask me what the most important characteristic or what the most important qualification a person should have in that kind of a position, it's judgment.
No, I can see very clearly why you picked Cuba. Is there any one episode in your career that you'd like to rewrite?
I can't think of any immediately. I mean, obviously there are things that are out of one's hands that I would rather have never occurred. But I don't know that there's anything that I think that I would have changed it.
Nothing you... I was trying to... One can usually think of anything you wish you'd left unsaid or anything like that.
Well, I think that if... as President Eisenhower said about Richard Nixon, when he was asked whether he could think of something he contributed, if you give me a week, I can think of something. But I'm sure I can think of a lot of things, and I'm sure there are things that I said in the last 24 hours that fill that category. But I mean, I think you're talking about in a major way, and during the course of my career, I mean, obviously, I made a lot of mistakes, and if you're talking about in the major areas in which I've had the control over the decisions, perhaps if I thought about it, I perhaps could do it better. But
we'll leave it to President Eisenhower or Richard Nixon to think about
right.
it. Is there, as you read about yourself in the press and so on, do you recognize the picture of yourself? Or is there something that we should know about you, some quality that you reckon doesn't get full play in the press? I mean, do you think, they sum me up right? Or do you think there's something they leave out?
Kind, thoughtful, sweet, that...
Do you think they miss that a little bit?
Occasionally. No, I don't know. I think that they've had an opportunity to analyze me so that they can reach whatever conclusion, perhaps much better than I can myself.
Only one of the things that everyone seems to say...
Is that
is that I mean, everybody hopes they change and develop. But in your case, people particularly say that you've changed and developed. I mean, in the sense that Gloria Steinem was writing in the last issue of Glamour, quoting high-level intellectual publications, about how you'd changed. I read a book in which Ted Sorensen said how you'd changed. Do you feel you've changed more than most people?
No, I don't know. I'm sure I've changed. I hope I've changed. And I hope I've grown, and I hope I have more understanding and more comprehension and more compassion, and all of those things that all of us would like to do, have as we grow older.
In one book, though, that about all the candidates this year, written before you were one, indeed, though, they quoted your wife as saying that the great change happened 2 years ago, and that you suddenly realised you couldn't get things done fast enough or something. That was what she was quoted as saying.
I'm not familiar with it.
The reason I mention it is that it impresses me how many people who were once opposed to you have come round.
Well, I was in a different aspect of my life, really. I mean, I suppose up until November of 1963, that my whole life was built around President Kennedy, and that was what was important to me and what I felt strongly about, not just dedication to an individual and not dedication to my brother, but just the fact that I thought through him that we could make a contribution and remedy injustices and change the direction of the United States and accomplish some good. And so my life was dedicated to that, and not so much just what I was going to be or what role I was going to play or whether I was the most beloved figure in the United States. And so I think that that was the only thing that meant anything to me. I expect after November 1963 that perhaps I was looked upon in different eyes, and perhaps, and obviously I had to play a different role, because what existed for me before that period of time didn't exist after.